Good morning, everyone. This is the Design Review Committee for meeting for February 13th. Let's start with roll call.
Acting Chair Shaw, Director Rath, Alternate Member Kilkenny, and Ex Officio Member Ayala are present. Chair Russell and Vice Chair Robinson are excused.
Thank you. Item two is non-agenda public comment. Do we have any?
There are none.
Lovely. Any? Item three is disclosures, ex parte communications. Heads east-west. I'll take that as a no. Item four, potential items for the agenda, future agenda. No as well. Okay. Item number five is the minutes of January 16th.
I move approval.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Let's vote.
The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Item six is the 11th and B project. Mr. Chopik.
Thank you, Chair Shaw, and members of the Design Review Committee. I'm presenting the 11th and B project. My name is Bill Chopik. I'm a planner for Civic San Diego. This is a 30,000 square foot site located on the south side of B Street between 10th and 11th Avenues in the northwest subdistrict of the East Village neighborhood. The proposed project is a 40-story, 414-foot-tall tower with 415 dwelling units and 7,600 square feet of commercial space on the ground floor. 582 standard parking spaces are in the garage. It's more if you include compact and tandem parking spaces. And this is about 87 spaces more than what's required. The parking is located in a six-level podium above grade and three levels below grade. The proposed floor area ratio for this project is at 14. The base maximum FAR on this site is 10.0, and the applicant proposes FAR bonuses with three-bedroom units. There would be 42 three-bedroom units, or 10%. An FAR bonus program for another 2.0 FAR and a green building LEED Silver would give them a total FAR bonus of 4.0 for a total project of 14. These are the applicable downtown community plan goals and policies, fostering creation of a diverse subdistrict, developing a system of neighborhoods that are walkable, and fostering a rich mix of uses. The zoning on this site is a residential emphasis zone, residential RE land use district, and there is limited vehicle access on 10th and 11th streets. And while I'm on this slide, this project was reviewed last night by the DCPC pre-design subcommittee, and some comments were made on the floor plan about the depth of the commercial space. And perhaps it could be deeper, and there is a requested deviation on B Street. There was some concern with the size of the mail room and the package room that it may be too small for a building with 415 dwelling units, and some concern about the proximity to the residences to the south. This is a Process 3 application that requires a Center City development permit and a planned development permit for two deviations. One for oriel windows greater than 12 feet in width, and this diagram shows that the oriel windows do not exceed 30% of the wall frontage, the wall facade, which is a CCPDO limitation. And again, the ground floor commercial space is less than 25 feet deep. There's a 20-foot deep commercial space fronting on B Street. Some design issues and considerations that are outlined in the staff report I'll cover briefly here. Does the project's overall massing and architectural design present a compatible development? And some of the comments we got last night from the DCPC committee was they were pleased with the overall design and fit. and thought that the building design was appropriate, even with the projecting floor slabs, which is a design that's not typically seen in the downtown. Some questions came up about keeping these clean and with drainage. Does the proposed design of the parking garage podium provide effective screening and integrate successfully with the street frontages in the tower above? Some committee members expressed concern with the size of this parking podium, and in particular the lighting of the garage podium, both screening lighting from inside the garage, but also lighting from outside of the garage. And the architect will cover some of these details in his presentation. And is the podium adequately set back from the adjacent residential building on 11th Street? And this detail, you can see that there's 5 feet of separation here, and the detail shows the eaves of the two-story residential building to the south, almost coming to the property line, so 5 feet of separation and close proximity. So some concerns were raised with maintaining that wall and constructing it. And then finally, does the proposed art mural effectively address the blank wall condition on the south elevation? There were some comments from the committee that perhaps that wall treatment should extend to the entire length of the wall above the YWCA building to the west. Just to give you some context, these are recent art walls that have been installed in the downtown area. This is Idea 1 at 13th and E Street. This is the art mural at the Moxie Hotel, treating a blank wall, and this is blank wall treatment art mural at the Broadstone Makers Quarter, just for some examples. So with that, I'll turn it over to Bob Lasauskas. He's an architect with Callison RTKL to present the project.
Great, thanks very much, Bill. Thank you for having me today. And I'll get started where Bill left off and take you through the design comment and some of the details on the facade and building. I wanted to start out with the massing of the project and the overall goals that we had of fitting into the neighborhood here. And the site borders 10th, 11th, and B Street. And the two goals of the project were to really integrate the tower into its podium and bring that tower down to the ground. We saw this as an important urban gesture to do this at 11th and B corner intersection. It is the highest point of the site that slopes down as you move west on B and south on 10th and 11th Streets. The second item I wanted to mention is that the tower predominantly faces its units south, and the building tapers back on the podium in that direction. And the goal of the massing there was to really open up the opportunity for the residents to capture views and get outdoor space, really taking advantage of our climate here as well as the skyline and ocean views. So right there at the intersection of 11th and B, as you travel west into the city on B Street, that really becomes your gateway marker into the city. The next thing I wanted to go over was a little bit about the public realm and creating great spaces on the streetscape. And we love these types of projects because it allows us to really take a vacant property and create complete streets, double-sided streets with active zones and pedestrian environment. So we are limiting our curb cuts on B Street, which was suggested in the San Diego guidelines, keeping 10th and 11th Ave free and clear for all pedestrians. And the types of environments we want to create here, and I'll just go back one, the goals really were to wrap the entire ground level with active uses. We're burying the vaults in the basement. We see this as great opportunity for restaurants, small cafes, and in the narrower zones, service retail, that could be a great amenity for the neighborhood. And then along with that, a active lobby space on B Street that could also open itself up in the future to the retail opportunity there. And just some precedent images quickly on what we think this retail could be. We're very interested in creating tree-lined streets and safe places for passage, allowing outdoor cafes to spill out. We also want to create a nicer rhythm on the street, and you'll see in our design, we found ways to really break down the scale and proportion of that retail so that we're identifying corners differently from walking down the street, so you really get a scale and pedestrian scale and rhythm along the facade. And here are some initial views walking down 11th Street. For example, at the corner, we're much more glassy, where we're going to bring that building facade down to the ground. And then we go into a patterned rhythm, bringing in stone and different metal materials so that the retailers will then get some individuality as they enter this building. And now going more into the overall building design, and we'll start with some of the features on the ground level. The tower, as I mentioned, we really the basis of design was we really wanted to take that strong line down to the corner of 11th and B, and that meant breaking down the facade of the podium and really letting the building express itself down to the base. And by bringing those strong lines down, we were able to then identify the lobby location that's happening on B Street, and then that retailer that happens there at the corner. And then looking at the facade closer in of the podium, the parking facade was really meant to be a design component and element of the building and not appear as a parking garage. And we articulated it in two different ways. At the significant corners at 10th Street down the street, as well as here at 11th, it's a glass enclosure that's brought down to the ground. And then in adjacent to those glass corners, we developed a garage screen, somewhat mid-century in pattern and articulation, that works as a uniform skin along the parking garage and also screens light and cars at night. And here's a view of that parking garage screen at 11th Street. And then at our property line here, the blank wall of the parking structure we saw as a great opportunity to become an art piece, an element in the neighborhood, and to break down the scale of that facade. We did it on the portion that was facing the abutters are the Y building and the small wood construction building there. We placed the art wall on 11th Street. There were some comments last night that could that art wall extend over towards the Y building? And the answer is yes, and we'll take that comment back, and we'll be happy to work with the design group in the city on that. One other thing I'd mention on this slide is then looking at the tower, some of the comments were made, is the gesture of the horizontal banding appropriate? And what we wanted to do really with the tower facade is, in its long element on the east and west facades, is we wanted to really break the tower down into sort of a one-third, two-third proportion so that you have thin, slender elements accentuating the height of the building at the corner. But then allowing the building to go a little bit more horizontal on the two-thirds portion. And what that does is it captures all of the balconies for the units that face south, and it really unifies them instead of seeing almost like teeth marks along the building facade. And given that the building is going to be LEED certified, we also use this horizontal articulation for shading on the east and west sides of the facades for the units. And in some of our initial studies so far, we found this to be really effective. Another close-up view of the streetscape at 11th Street, viewing the art opportunity on 11th Street, and then a closer view of the retail as we accentuate the bays along the sidewalk. And then closely looking at the detailing of that parking garage system, we see this outer skin or exoskeleton as a series of modules and a series of panels that would be made out of metal panel. They're about 4 feet by 7 and 8 inches deep. And there are about 2 modules in height per parking bay. And then behind that framework is then a 50% perforated metal panel system to also take away some of the light pollution that would be coming out of the parking structure and garage. A view of the parking garage then at night, and the original intent is to provide some ambient light along the entire face of this metal panel system, so that you get an overall general wash that balances out any of the lighting that happens from inside the parking garage, so you get an even balance of light. Something similar to the image down in the lower left corner here, along this facade of a museum project in Los Angeles. The tower then at the lighting down below is then the frame of that is accentuated with a light cove of indirect LED lighting. So the goal here is to really keep the light levels low and not cause a lot of light pollution at the podium of the building. And then looking at the view on 10th Ave, and on 10th Ave, I want to go into this sort of the detailing of the corner at 10th, and we wanted to make a significant mark at the street of at the intersection of 10th and B. This is also where we'll have some traffic coming off of the freeway, and wanted to make this a gateway moment entering the downtown area. And at this corner, we've broken up that metal panel system that I explained earlier with a glass corner facade. And we treated this as a shadow box where it is clear, transparent glass at the face of the building. And behind that glass, we also use this as an opportunity for an art feature that could then get illuminated at night with indirect lighting. And here is a detail of that facade panel, where there could be interchangeable art panels made out of metal that would be accessed from inside the garage. And then at every floor, there is an LED light system that would wash that back wall. So it's something that could also be part of the art program in San Diego. And just some of the examples and inspiration images for that type of facade, one at night in the upper left-hand corner of how that art panel gets washed by light. And then some daytime images showing sort of the depth that you get with that type of facade with the art behind the clear glass. I wanted to mention that all of our open space requirements are exceeded by our amenity decks on the project. We have two locations of amenities for the residents, one above the podium at the seventh floor, and it is essentially a full level of amenities. The interior spaces are a series of lounge health and wellness gyms, as well as a co-working space. And what we found is that more and more people living in multifamily residential buildings tend to work at home, whether it's full-time or even one day a week. So we've provided some co-working space to allow them a place to work outside of their residence, either inside or being able to use this great outdoor amenity. And the goals of the amenity were to really break those down into multiple types of flexible spaces for outdoor spillout for gym and fitness, as well as a larger pool gathering area, and then a number of smaller, more intimate spaces for neighbors and residents to meet and greet in smaller groups of 4 to 6. Additionally, we've provided the city's requirement of having an outdoor space for pets and have a dog walking facility at the corner of 10th and B on that podium. And here's a view of what the amenity space could be, and the thoughts is that it would be really a lush oasis park-like environment for the residents. Another view at the corner of 10th and V with the screened area for the dog walk. And then some of those smaller, more intimate spaces I was talking about for people to gather on the outdoor deck. Just as we move up the building begins to step back at the top of the building. We use this as our second opportunity for an amenity space. So up at the top of the roof deck, the building steps back from the typical tower floor plate. We provide some smaller, more intimate lounge spaces up there, as well as a larger outdoor deck. And the outdoor deck is comprised of some small seating lounge spaces as well as a small spa area. And then a view from the deck here. And we see this as a great place for the residents to get some a flavor of the outdoors as well as capturing all the views of the skyline in the city. And I'll open that up to questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Committee members? Yes. Go ahead. Good point. Sorry. We do have a speaker who is neutral on the project, Mr. Gary Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Gary Smith, president of the Downtown Residents Group. I'm neutral, of course, because my board won't see this till next Monday. The staff did a very good job of presenting a lot of the comments that came up at pre-design last night. The only one he missed is if you look at the floor plan of the ground floor, whether this is a condo or whether this is an apartment building, there's no administrative space. There's no office for leasing. There's no office for condominium management, whatever it would happen to be. There's plenty of parking there where they could rearrange it to put an office space in, but it's not there right now. This project fits into the neighborhood very well, I think, personally. I think my board will agree with that, except for, of course, that 80-foot high parking podium. Staff mentioned some of the issues with the masking of that podium. Think about this for a second. You're going to light up that 80-foot wall, and if I live across the street, that's closer than from here to the California Theater. And I'm going to have to look at this giant orange glow or yellow glow outside my windows forever and ever. I'm not sure that's a viable solution. There are ways to do lighting that makes it soft and muted and not quite as blatant as shown in the photographs. The simple metal panel with perforations does not do the job. It does not stop sound. It does not really stop light. Cars moving around inside of there will not be as bad as in some garages because the staff has convinced them to use flat floor plates. So the lighthouse effect isn't quite as bad. But nevertheless, it will happen. Headlights do reflect off of everything. Car alarms, people slamming doors, people having a good time getting from their car back to their unit does create noise. If there's no barrier to redirect that noise at least once, it comes straight through. I'm sure you would not like to live less than that away from six stories of garage. So it's something you have to look at going forward. This place is overparked by standard, especially with the city's new standard coming into effect. I am the last person in the world to ever criticize them for putting in more parking, but this probably will take a little tweaking to make it work, and it'll take a lot of tweaking on that garage. Last comment, that blank wall, I don't know how you do it. If you put an artwork up there, how do you maintain it? There's a lot of questions there. I hope they have the solutions by the time they come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Now, if I could turn to our august panel. Who wants to start?
Go ahead. Thank you. I really appreciated seeing a couple elements in this project. I thought it was an attractive project. It fits into the neighborhood. It's so close to the business core that it has a blend of residential and business feeling, and that location could use a building that transitions well. You've got three-bedroom units, which is great, and you've got your FAR bonus and your green bonus, so thank you for providing those. I also appreciate seeing a very dense project, over 40 stories tall, on half a block. You're using your space efficiently. So with some of this going straight to staff's questions for us on design, the commercial space depth, usually I'm very open to that deviation, but this area being so close to the business core makes me a little concerned. You talked about activating the sidewalk with what looked like in one of the renderings, outdoor dining. What I'd like to see is that on the plan, then how you're going to augment those that less commercial depth to really get the activation, because I know, especially even after school, there's a lot of people in this area in the mornings, after school, after work. This will be an area where commercial space is probably going to get leased and used in the future. The projecting slab concern, that was new to me that that's a concern. I don't know if it's just a cleanliness, but I was, maybe you could talk about that at the next meeting, what the concern from staff is on projecting slabs. I like it, it's different. We're breaking into some new design trends, which is nice to see. So the garage, I'm starting to be concerned about garage podiums. We're seeing them a lot. I would like applicants to start showing us built examples of how it feels as a pedestrian at night, during the day. I mean, during the day, I don't think you'd notice as much. I'm concerned about all this lighting on it at night. If you have an office building across the street, it's probably not as much of a concern. But if you have residential nearby, I used to live near the Santa Fe Depot, and just the one art exhibit that came out with the lights running up and down, and that was very small, it was really distracting for residential neighbors at night. So that concerns me. The perforated metal, it gets dirty. It's hard to clean for a garage. I don't know how you would clean it. That concerns me. These garage podiums, I appreciate that we're now demanding flat plates so that we can convert later. I'd actually like to see a plan then of how that could be converted. It would be great if even there was an attempt to put wrapped units on one elevation. Maybe if there is residential cross street, that is an emphasis to soften it, make it more residential, and not have the entire podium be this solid uninhabited space. I'm also, I don't know what to do next to those historic buildings, but it just doesn't look right in the rendering. I don't know what the solution is, because you're allowed to build up the property line. I don't know what you do there, but it just feels, it feels really wrong next to this, but not the YWCA. That scale and adjacency I'm fine with. It's next to the houses. It was just the garages. I'd like to see a lot more what other cities are doing, if there's these podium garages, how successful they are, what it feels like as a pedestrian. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Director Rath?
Sure. Overall, I think it's a really great looking building. I was puzzled by the concern about the vertical patio extension too. I thought that was a really great addition. I think there's a homogeneity going on with a lot of these towers that this kind of is different from, which I think is good. I think we've had a lot of stuff that really looks very similar to other buildings. I can't tell the different buildings apart. So I am kind of looking for features that make things different, so we have a diversity of architecture. I don't think our city should look like it was designed by one person. So I think this is a good contribution to that. I don't have any concerns about bulk and scale. If anything, you know, I would have gone higher, but you know, those FAR bonuses are really your call, and whether those pencil out. My questions are probably, let's deal with the parking screening thing first. I mean, first of all, this is going to be a moot point in a couple of months, because if you had applied in a couple of months, you wouldn't even be allowed to do all this parking. So, Gary, we will not have to go around and around on podium parking anymore. So this will probably be one of the last ones we ever have to deal with about screening. But I think the screening in this situation is pretty well done. I understand the concern about light and the severity of the light. I guess my question is, can you put like a fader switch on the light? They have them at Home Depot. And
yeah, absolutely.
It may be just, if it's too bright, turn it down. I presume you're doing LED and this is a technologically exceptional project. So is that something you would work with the neighbors? I mean, if it's, I get
exactly,
it.
Absolutely. And
spotlight and it's like neon, that would be annoying, but it seems like a relatively simple fix.
And we talked about this a little bit last night, and what we were doing is, in our original intent, was that we just had a indirect light cove here and then at the top to wash the facade so that any pollution coming out of the building sort of gets mediated by the outdoor wash, and then that could be controlled by a system that's brighter or dimmer based on the time of day. But if that even went away, you know, some of the discussion happened, hey, maybe that goes away entirely, and you're just getting sort of the pixelated screening of some silhouette lighting so that there isn't any wash of a facade. And those are absolutely things we would look at with the city on and come back to you with.
Great. I figured that was something you'd resolve. I'm not worried about the perforated panels. We've approved those previously on other projects that have not been a concern that I've been made aware of. I've not heard complaints about that mesh screen. I think it's the least bad option for dealing with that, you know, lighthouse effect thing. The retail... I recognize that our code says 25 feet of depth, but you want to go to 20. I'm not an expert in the commercial retail leasing space, but can you? I'm not real sure why we picked 25 feet as depth. Is 20 magically fatal to certain types of users in commercial? I'm sensitive to this because we have had a problem in downtown of commercial being vacant. And so I want to make sure that we're not allowing commercial space that's immediately just kind of damaged and not viable. But I am curious whether the 5 feet really makes a difference. Can you give me some input on users and what that, maybe Brad, you can, yeah. I don't know. I don't run a sandwich shop or a dry cleaner. Like, does the 5 feet make a difference?
When we talked to commercial breakers and we were setting a standard, there was a concern. Our Park and Market garage at 7th on in Market, for example. We only have 20-foot depth there. We have struggled with leasing that. We have a flower shop and a very small cafe. 25 seemed to be the minimum that commercial brokers felt was really flexible enough to provide enough tenancy in them. So that's where we set the standard. I think it's along 10th Avenue, though, it is 25, correct?
Sure. So, yeah, just to clarify, all of this area along 10th Ave, as you see on the screen here, is 25 feet. It was just this small portion on B Street right here.
Oh,
that's
okay.
20 feet. And it was due to the metrics of the parking garage of getting parking and the two drive aisles there and the dimension of the site.
I would say the comments last night did want a little bit more depth if possible, and also addressing how trash will be accessed from it. So we'll work with the design team on that before it comes back.
I guess I would say I'm less concerned that it's that space than it is the 10th Avenue space, for sure, because that shallower space is your beachfront property. So it's going to be a more appealing because it's on B, so at least you're not damaging stuff that's already kind of not having the foot traffic that would be appealing. So yeah, I would take a look at that. I recognize that these first floor plans are, you know, you're dealing with inches, not yards of flexibility, and you got to have drive aisle widths and all that. But, you know, whether you need a leasing office, how the trash gets dealt with, that's probably something I'll be curious about. I'm not too worried about how the penthouses are designed or the amenity deck. I think it looks awesome. But this first floor is probably just scrub that one more time and see if we can get to 25 there. Because I'm worried about vacant retail space. I think everybody is. We're asking people to put in a lot of retail and it's not all getting taken up. And that's almost worse than, you know, there are some who believe we'd be better off just not requiring that much retail because vacant space is worse.
Right.
That's a bigger policy discussion that we'll have to have. Yeah, that's really it for my comments. I think you're definitely on the right track. And the blank wall facade, my position on that is just not blank and not offensive. So I will defer to Jennifer on what is the appropriate thing to put there. And maybe this green leafy thing is not it, but I think it's a perfectly fine attempt at doing something there other than blank concrete. And that's really all we can, that's the standard we need to set. You know, with a mid-block wall, that's how it's going to be. I presume, though, this is going to be a little more permanent than some of the other situations we've seen, because you got some historic houses or properties on that southern half. So I'll probably be a little more concerned about the, you know, it's not a two-year installation like some of the projects we've dealt with where we know that someone's developing the rest of it. It might be a little more permanent. So I'd like to see some more options for that probably.
Okay, but, absolutely.
You know.
And and as Bill mentioned, yeah, that was one of the comments that came up last night and we had a conversation last night as well. And yeah, we're happy to take back all of these comments on that facade and work with the city on that.
Yeah, maybe just some other options, I guess, that we could kind of pick from and decide, yeah, this is worth doing. If it's going to be there for 10 years or more, which it probably could, then let's be comfortable with it. Other than that, that's it for my comments.
Thank you. I would echo most of the comments that I've heard so far. Since the last item Director Rath mentioned was that wall, I appreciate that you came in and didn't give us a blank wall. One of my concerns is how is that going to be maintained and what's the functional life of something there? Paint fades. Maybe there's a different way of approaching it. A couple of positives. Thank you very much for the three-bedroom and penthouse units, not to benefit the penthouse so much, but the three-bedroom units is something we need downtown if we're going to create more than just an old folks community. We're going to have people with families, got to have three-bedroom units or more. Relative to the ground floor, I would agree with the comments you've heard. I appreciate that you've tried to have three sides of commercial or retail space. I think that's an important piece. I hate to see blank walls. We had a project recently that one whole side was basically devoid of activity, and that bothers me. In looking at going to the depth on the B Street commercial space that's only 20 feet deep, I know you have a tight chicane that you're getting people through to go up. Maybe there's a way of adjusting it so that the westerly part is deeper than the easterly part. Mm-hmm. Again, going to the idea of that, of 25 feet being more appropriate for retail type uses. Lighting of the garage, I would definitely encourage you to have a time in which it's on or substantially reduced. Light downtown is a fact of life at night, but don't really want to be keeping people up at night. That's right. Creates bad situations. I have learned recently that uplighting is good for diffusing downlighting. I'm wondering if on the inside of your garage, rather than doing a crash rail, it's some sort of barrier that helps keep that light inside. I don't know there's much we could do with noise coming out of garages. That's a fact of life, whether it's enclosed garage or not. I would echo the comment about excess parking. I'm an advocate for the market determining how much parking you should have, but you're way over. And that's without counting the tandems and the compact spaces. I too like the building. I think it's a good design. It took me a while to get used to that north elevation of the garage. It's a little funky. As I was looking at the elevation, I thought it was a projection coming off the side of the elevation, but I like it. It's different. I appreciate the effort to treat the garage differently and have it be part of the overall project and the fabric of this area. And I think those are my comments. Any last thoughts? Great. Well, let me ask you, Mr. Chopik, how have we done?
Yeah, very good feedback. Thank you very much. And that's what we're looking for. And we'll return with the final design and permits.
Excellent.
Hopefully in the near future.
Great. I appreciate it. That was our last item on design review. We're going to need to rejigger some things up here, but we will come back as the Joint Committee of Real Estate and Economic Development.